I am now joined by Pauline Clegg, who is an associate professor. And Pauline is one of Australia's most influential Indigenous filmmakers and storytellers, a filmmaker, producer, cultural leader with 25 years of experience shaping First Nations storytelling on screen. Pauline, thank you so much for taking your time to talk to us today.
Thank you. Got to add, it's actually 30 years. I think that's a very old biography.
Oh.
I think I've just been like doing this film for the last 5 years, so I haven't changed it.
Amazing. So thank you so much. So even longer.
Right. Yeah.
Thank you. Pauline, please, can I ask you who your people are and where do you come from?
So I'm a Yagal woman from the North Coast, New South Wales. The mouth of the mighty Clarence River.
Thank you. Our interview today is a little bit of an invitation as well, because we can see your film, Colino Heart, which is part of the Antina Documentary Festival. It is a unique piece that looks at the Colino's family extraordinary circus legacy, and it took 10 years of research and 3 years of production. How did this film came about? How did you find the topic?
So I knew about it as a little girl. My mum told me this story of this family when I was 7 in hospital, and each week that she visited, she told me little bits and pieces of the family. And I think it just sparked my interest, so that when, you know, I started learning how to research, every once in a while I would just look for them. And in newspaper articles and all the rest of it. And I just thought it was amazing that we didn't know about them here in Australia. And I knew that Con Colino, one of the sons, had a camera. And so I knew that there was footage out there. And that was, I suppose, the bit that other people held the option for a little while. You know, I was trying to get it up myself as a producer. And then Wild Bear, you know, luckily got in contact with me, had heard that I had been researching the story as well. And they were going to just do it about Con. And I said, there's actually a bigger story, and it's way more epic if you include the whole family. And it also talks to, you know, a part of our country's story about the hidden generation that we just don't talk about here in this country. And I wanted to start talking about that. I think when we talk about truth telling in this country, you know, we talk about the stolen generation and other stories, but this part of the history we sort of kind of haven't quite grasped in a way. And I thought that this family was a great technique of being able to tell that story. But also, they were just, you know, they were magical. They ran away to the circus. They evaded the atrocities that a lot of our families went through with the oppression of Aboriginal missions and stolen generation, and went out to the world and became global citizens.
Mm-hmm. Can you please tell us a little bit more about the story, or do you want us to see the film?
Yeah, so they shape-shifted and they pretended to be a lot of other nationalities to evade the authorities at the time. It became a circus act that was very well known here in Australia, and then a vaudeville act after that, which allowed them to then flee Australia and become a part of I suppose the international circus stage, and a part of the biggest circus, the greatest show on earth, the Ringling Barnum Show, in the 1920s, 30s, 40s and 50s. They were remarkable athletics. They did acts that no one had ever seen before. So Con Colino, one of the brothers, could do a trick that no one else could on the tight wire, which was a forward somersault. And him and his sister, Little Winnie, are two of the Hall of Famers for the circus from Australia. Mm-hmm. And then the family, because of the way in which they shape-shifted into different identities, then owned those identities and didn't tell the next generations who they were. And so then the current generation, it's also about their journey of coming home and learning what their Aboriginal ancestry was.
Mm-hmm. How was the process for you filming this story? Because it's very emotional, I suppose.
Yeah, it was quite emotional. I mean, I met Deb and Molly 4 years ago, and within hours we were filming with them because I just knew that it was a opportunity. You know, Molly had come to Australia, and so it was a opportunity for us to gather some information at that point. And then, you know, in the last couple of years, we then went overseas and met some of the other family, because the story, you know, the bigger part of the story is that the Kalino families, none of them came back to Australia. So all of their next generations live in other parts of the world. And so going to America and meeting, you know, Amy and Erin and Molly and the rest of the Kalino collective was such an amazing time for us. It was also quite weird because it was around Halloween and the Trump election, the lead up to it. And so we were sort of kind of constantly, you know, having to look at, you know, having these conversations around, you know, the invasion in Australia, but also the fascism of places like Germany. I suppose in a way, one of the things that was really interesting is that this family are like Forrest Gump. They were in moments of history that you just sort of like go, really? And you sort of kind of don't believe it when you're researching it, right? And then you dig deeper and you realize that the story is actually bigger than what you thought it was. And so, you know, that was amazing for us because it allowed us to then look at elements of archives within the history of archives and see how Conn's archives and other arms were sort of matching with each other. And I think that was something that was quite hard to do, but also really beautiful to be, you know, drowned in all that sort of historical components and seeing how much joy this family on film was having by having freedom.
That sounds so incredible, but I guess the years spent in archives would have been hard, right? To me, it would be. How did you do it? How did you go about it?
I mean, I think, you know, some of the archives that we use at the start of the film are often, in a lot of ways, triggering for our communities because they, you know, they're propaganda and, you know, a lot of film footage that was shot in the 1900s, in that early part of the 1900s, I should say, were sort of kind of very different perspectives of the oppression. And then on top of it, then we have the Kalino component, which is the 1920s footage onwards. And I think for me, it was about finding, you know, those bits that gave agency back, because this is a story about a family that had agency in their lives. And we wanted to make sure that, you know, we weren't using the same footage or reinterpreting. I think one of the things that, you know, I love to put an Indigenous narrative into my films. And so making sure that we relook at and rewrite some of the histories with an Indigenous lens.
Mm-hmm. That's been your focus in your work for the past decades, I should say. Have you seen a change or shift?
Oh, absolutely. I think, you know, some good and some bad. I think we saw a real shift. You know, there's been a wave of Indigenous cinema for 30 odd years, but we saw a real shift when people had been in the industry enough, you know, in probably about 10 years ago, we started to see some real documentaries about us, by us, with real strength. And I think, sadly, you know, 5 years ago with the Voice referendum, we saw some racism that we weren't, you know, that wasn't good for our mob or for our country in terms of talking about identity in this country. And I think one of the things for me was we have to tell the stories. You know, we talk about truth telling and we have to do the in-depth research. And I was lucky that this film I had been researching since I was a teenager or earlier even, that I felt that, you know, there were strengths to be able to look at both the oral history of our community as well as the research of what was there on paper and sort of kind of help to tell that story properly, but also to find the family again and to look to them because they would know the stories because they had lived experience of their family's lives. And I think that was one thing that was really clear for me is that I wanted to make sure that the family got back this story and it got told. I'm amazed that we don't know about this family. You know, we know all these other big Australian family, circus families, but we just don't know much about the Colinos. If you go to America and you talk around the circus, everyone knows who the Colinos are because Con was so famous and Winnie was so famous. That it's weird that you then, that we don't in this country celebrate a family that has been so exceptional.
This film already had a premiere in Adelaide, I believe. What was the response from the audience?
I think, you know, it's an epic film, if I do say so myself. And it's got, you know, the magic of circus and it's got 150 years of history in it, in some shape or form. And so I think people were overwhelmed by it. I was overwhelmed. I sort of kind of, it's really terrible to say, but it felt like I was in a out of body experience for that film. Also because four of the family members from America flew across to be with us, as well as Deb, who's the Australian family connection. And so having them be a part of hearing their story, you know, Molly especially. I remember, you know, the moment when she turned around and said, you know, my family have come alive again, was a moment where I went, I'm thankful, you know, like if anything else, I love the fact that other audience are loving this film. But you know, a lot of people were crying. It was a very overwhelming experience, I suppose.
What better invitation can we have to a cinema than this?
And it's one for the big screen because it's amazing to see the archives on the big screen. And I think, you know, we did a little bit extra with 5.1 sound. So a lot of the footage from the early 1900s doesn't have sound. So we had to put sound back in. So, you know, that footage lives again. And so having that was something really important as a part of the journey, and I love seeing it on the big screen. So I'm excited to see it at the Dandy Cinema on the 10th of Feb.
Oh, totally. In one interview, you said that everybody has a story and you should never question that you are worthy enough to tell a story. How do you choose your stories for your films?
I mean, I have a pool of, I'm very lucky that I've had a history of being able to, you know, be at the helm of places like creating Message Stick and doing Our Stories, you know, creating the Landmark series, Our Stories, Our Way every day on NITV. So I've been able to work with, you know, community and other filmmakers to tell many stories. I have a slate of the ungettable gets for me. There's stories that I just keep researching. that are on a database. It's the producer in me, you know, that I hope that I'll get to do. And one of the things that I've just learned is that community, when community are ready for a story, they come to you and the stories come to you. I'm blessed, I think, in that way. I also feel that, you know, there are huge protocols that we have to do, and sometimes it just takes a lot more energy and a lot more research and a lot more pre-production than you thought it would. And so sometimes the stories step up and then they disappear for a little while, like this one, and then they come when they're needed to come. And I think, you know, for me, I'm so thankful that in a way this one came when it came. You know, Wild Bear were producing it, were the producers, and they did a remarkable job of trying to get all the film and the research into one spot. I tried to produce this story probably about 15 years ago and just couldn't get it up. And so having this opportunity to step across to the directing space and tell this story was something that I was really happy to do. But I'm, you know, I'm also, I work a lot with elders and with survivors of our stories here in Australia. Just sometimes just need to be told for family as well, but also we have to look at how do we heal those stories. And so I look at not just filming stories and telling the stories for the families, but also how do you then give back the story to the family. So doing cultural bits like possum cloaks and a whole lot of other stuff that then put the story onto the possum cloak and gift it back to the person that's told us stories that are sometimes harrowing and hard to do, I think is part of the cultural healing that our country needs to do.
Thank you so much, Pauline. Thank you for joining us on NITV Radio and sharing your story about creating this amazing film.
Thank you.
And that was Pauline Clegg, Associate Professor and one of Australia's most influential Indigenous filmmakers and storytellers.